The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In the studio with me is Dr. Aisling Loy, genitourinary medicine consultant at both St. James Hospital and the BlackRock Women's Health Centre, which is a new facility which we spoke about on the programme a few weeks ago. Aisling, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we will talk about conditions that are not STIs, but which could be properly seen at an STI clinic. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, this is your busiest time of year.
Yeah, this week leading up to Christmas and the weeks following Christmas are our busiest times in clinic. Mainly because I guess it's that social time of year when people go out, they take a bit too much to drink, sometimes other substances, and make decisions that they normally wouldn't make, and then wake up with other symptoms or regret or worry or concerns, and then come into us with
yeah. Now, how long might it be before a symptom would appear after a sexual encounter that you have question marks over?
So, first of all, to say most STIs have absolutely no symptoms. So you could have something and not have any symptoms at all. So don't ever let that put you off getting tested. But most appear within 2 weeks. So if you were to get a symptom, say unusual discharge, a lesion, a bump, a lump, pain on urination or pain having intercourse, then mostly they'll come up within 2 weeks. So you can get symptoms sooner than that, a few days, but mostly within 2 weeks. But again, just to say, most STIs have no symptoms.
Okay, so your message is don't feel you're okay just because.
You feel fine, yeah.
You've no symptoms. Okay, now, what kind of conditions are you seeing at the moment? Are there dramatic increases or maybe a levelling off of some conditions?
Yeah, so we had a huge peak in 23-24 post-pandemic. We're still up 30% on STI diagnoses in Ireland from pre-pandemic. But there's been a decrease in the last year of around 10%, which is a great thing, you know, and that could be because we've introduced lots of new measures, increased testing. Some people will be on what's called DoxyPEP, and that will prevent STIs in the GBMSM communities, so that's gay, bisexual, men who have sex with men community. So that might be adding to some of the decrease, and hopefully people are using condoms more, but I really don't think that's the case. But yes, a 10% decrease, but still up 30%.
Now, are you still getting the same level or even greater level of people looking to be tested? I mean, if the results are good, mm-hmm. that's great, but you need to have lots of people testing to make sure that your incidence is actually going down.
Yeah, so testing's going up all the time, and thankfully with the well-established home testing kits. I think there's about 100,000 of those go out each year. So that's you know, an increase in testing.
How many of those come back? I mean, do they all come back?
I think the return rate, and I haven't got the exact up-to-date figures, but about 70% on return.
Which is not bad.
It's not bad. And some people order it and then keep it for an incident that might occur. They don't send it off straight away. About 50% of our chlamydia diagnoses now in Ireland are through that system.
Okay, that's very interesting though. If 100,000 are sent out and you get a 70% return rate, that's a sample of 70,000 people. Mm-hmm. So yep. It's very solid,
it's
statistical
very solid.
Sample.
Exactly. A slight increase, mismatch in that we get more women testing in that way than men, but that's okay because women are more adversely affected by STIs with fertility issues and things like that than men are. So there's about, I think, a 60-40 divide on that.
Is there anything new that people need to be wary of in STIs?
Not too much. I mean, with regards to the GBMSM community, we target a lot just because they're slightly disproportionately affected. So again, to reiterate, the PrEP is out there and available to try and seek that. That's HIV prevention. Your vaccines, so your hepatitis A, B, your HPV vaccination if you're in an at-risk group, Mpox vaccination, it's still out there. And then DoxyPEP is something that's new in the last year or so in that group, and that's taking an antibiotic after you've had a risky encounter to prevent the risk. It doesn't totally prevent, it decreases the risk of chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis.
Now, people might have some symptoms and that look or feel like an STI because they're in the genital area, and they say, but I haven't done anything risky.
Yeah.
So what do you say to those?
This is where I see a lot of people who don't know how to navigate the healthcare system, and they'll have issues in the genital area. And genital skin is very prone to lots of symptoms, and people might be too embarrassed. And there's a barrier to seeking help because they think, gosh, well, you know, if I go with that problem down there, someone might think I've got an STI or it's a hygiene issue. And what I'd say to people is it's really common to have skin issues in the genital area. The genital area is more prone. If you think about it, your arms and legs, they aren't as prone to infections and things like that. But it's just that area is occluded. It's nearly always covered up. There's moisture, there's friction, there's pads, there's excretion of waste products, and all of this can add to the symptoms that you can get down there. And the main things people complain of are itch, burning, splitting skin, fissuring. You can have ulcers, plaques. It actually makes up a huge proportion of what I see now, because a lot of the basic STI care is taken out by the at-home STI testing kits. And so our clinics have got more full of these more complex genital skin issues. And people often don't know, they're like, do I go to a dermatologist? Do I go to a gynecologist, a urologist? Because this affects all ages, all genders, all sexualities. And they just don't know where to go. And just to say, look, as genital urinary medicine physicians, we're the people to go to, because there can be huge waiting lists to get into a dermatologist, a gynecologist, urologist, and they may not specialise in this area.
There is, with an STI clinic, though, the embarrassment, you know, someone sees you there and think, uh-oh.
Yeah. So, look, we like to say it's sexual health clinics. We do deal in STIs, but I'm now opening in the Blackrock Women's Health Centre in Percy Place in Dublin too, and patients can get referred there by their GPs. That's for women who are, you know, too embarrassed to go to, say,
and they could be going to that clinic for any number of things.
Yes, so that service has got gynecologists, dermatologists, menopause specialists. It's a big state-of-the-art building in Dublin too, and it sort of serves all women's health needs in that area. But, you know, you don't have to go private. You can get referred into the public system in St. James's Hospital. Men can come and see me privately in Himeris Health. So there's options, whether you're public, private, man, woman, but just go and get seen, and don't be embarrassed, and don't think that it has to be an STI because it's your genital area. Eczema, psoriasis, chronic fungal infections, lichen sclerosis, all of these things we deal with in that area, and it's not an STI or indicative that you've, you know, made some mistake.
Now, I'm looking at some of the conditions that you've mentioned there. Lichen sclerosis, lichen planus, lichen simplex chronicus, folliculitis, chronic candidiasis, genital skin atrophy, particularly post-menopause,
yeah,
and penile atrophy.
Yeah. So look, these conditions, they slightly disproportionately affect women and older women, but they also affect men. And, you know, I spoke briefly last time I was in here at the end of talking to you, and I mentioned about genital skin conditions. And off the back of that, amount of people, especially in the older age category, that reached out to me and said, oh my goodness, I didn't know that I could access you, and then come into our clinic and we sorted them out. And it's years and years they could be dealing with splitting of their skin, itching, and they're too embarrassed, or they were treated as a chronic candida, a yeast infection there, and they were just taking over-the-counter creams, and they were dealing with it and suffering in silence because it's not something you can talk often to your family about, and it can affect relationships, intimacy. I've seen relationships break down because, you know, people are unable to have intercourse and they just don't know where to turn. It can be a huge issue for many, many men and women. For men, it can be things like unable to retract their foreskin, loss of architecture where they start getting atrophy of their skin, and pain and splitting and rashes. So it's important to get seen.
My goodness, so many things that can go wrong for people. Now, if you don't get these things treated, the longer you leave it, is it more chronic? Yeah. It's harder to fix?
It's harder to fix. So sometimes people present at a point where they've got fusion of, say, the labia, and they need surgery. Or for men, they'll need a circumcision. And it's important because we have treatments. The treatments are basic. They can be things like steroid creams, emollients, antifungals. So it's important to get it looked at, get it monitored, and go on the treatment. And then if you do need surgery, then we can redirect it to, you know, the gynecologists or the urologists, the people that can deal with that element.
Now, back to the testing, the home testing. If someone comes up positive, what happens then?
So
could it be simply a prescription that you'd send them in the post or directly to the pharmacy or what?
Yeah, so absolutely. Things like chlamydia, it's directly treated. So if patients want to come in and chat, they're they're given the option.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to just be emailed a prescription to their local pharmacy, they nominate a local pharmacy. So a nurse goes on the phone, takes a quick history to make sure they're not allergic, that they've no drug interactions and that they're okay. They don't need any other follow-up because sometimes chlamydia can be complicated if they've got, for example, a coil in. So we work out whether or not that's safe and then give the prescription to their local pharmacy. But if it's something like gonorrhea or syphilis, then they're invited into a local clinic of their choice for an injection because they can't do that at home.
Okay, they can't do that at home. One of the things that people might be concerned about is that they'll get a little lecture. Oh, you were a bad boy, weren't you?
No,
that doesn't happen.
I'm not in the business of moral. I'm there to treat infections or to treat a person in front of me. I'm not there to.
What were you thinking?
Is the last thing on my mind. I couldn't care less. Do you know, I'm not there to judge or to, like, I don't know what's going on in people's lives. You just, you get a 15, 20 minute snapshot of their life, and it's not in my interests. I'm too busy to be thinking about that. I just think, look, this person's distressed. They're a patient in front of me. I'm there to fix that.
This question, can you ask Aisling whether a stinging tongue, occasionally sore, with what feels like a small mouth ulcer, could that be an STI?
It could. It depends on the situation. So it's probably more likely an aphthous ulcer. I would go to your GP. Lots of people will get stinging little aphthous ulcers in the mouth. The thing we worry about in the mouth is something more like syphilitic chancres, but they tend to be painless. So if it's painful often, that's not a sign. I would go chat to your GP and ask them, but often if it's recurring mouth ulcers.
What are syphilitic chancres?
Chancres are ulcers, but they're often painless. So they're like a break in the skin, often circular, and they appear and then they can just disappear without treatment. So people can sort of disregard it.
So you're still carrying the syphilis?
So it might be a transient thing and you go, well, I'll go to the doctor about that next week, and then it disappears and then you think, oh, sure, it's grand, it's gone. But actually, it was a fleeting sign that you had been infected with syphilis.
And by the way, syphilis, it was characterized, certainly when I was growing up, as something that could actually drive you insane.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is true, but we see less and less and less of that because usually people will have some element of antibiotics in their lifetime that will keep it at bay and quell it a bit so it doesn't get to that stage. So in the post-penicillin era, we don't see as much of that, but it happens.
Mm. Dr. Aisling Loy, a genito-urinary medicine consultant at St. James Hospital and at the new Blackrock Women's Health Centre in Percy Place in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us. And I'm sure you wish all your listeners a very happy Christmas.
I do. Thank you. And safe Christmas. And safe.
Safe Christmas too. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.